نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وأما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى فإن الجنة هي المأوى. Respected brothers and sisters, in our Taleem program that we have in the morning time after Fajr namaz, after Fajr Salah in the morning time, there is a little Taleem that we have. 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes. Then our Imam makes dua. And then the brothers remain in Taleem, seated for another 10 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour. All depending on the zeal, the enthusiasm. Not every day is the same. They try to remain until it is the time for the Ishraq Salah, pray the Ishraq Salah, and then leave and go home, go and seek their sustenance. It was in that Taleem in the morning time that I heard Haji Faiz, who mostly conducts our morning Taleem, I heard him reading about Sheikh Hatim Assam, or Sheikh Hatim Assam. Very great personality, very, very great personality. He was sitting in company with his sheikh. Hatim Assam was sitting in company with his sheikh, Shaqiq Balkhi. And he was in company with his sheikh. He went to learn. He went to study. He went to learn the lessons of life. He went to learn how to bring this nafs under control, this ruh, this nafs that we have inside of us, this passion and desire inside of us. How could I get this under control? Always trying to lead me in a certain direction, trying to get me to stray from the path, from reaching our goal. How could I get it? He went in company with his sheikh. He was in company with his sheikh. Not for 1 year, not for 2 years, not for 5 years. For 33 years, he's in company with his sheikh. 33 years. This is not a 5 month course. This is not an alim program that he went to for 8 years. This is not a 4 month program that he went to. No, he went to learn how I could get this nafs and bring this nafs under control. 33 years he's sitting with his sheikh. Sheikh Shaqiq Balkhi. 33 years. And one day his sheikh asked him, he says that, you know, you have been with me for so long. What have you learnt? What have you learnt in this 33 years that you have been with me? What have you really learnt in this 33 years? So Hatim Assam replied, he says, well, I have learnt 8 lessons. The sheikh replied, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. 33 years you with me and you only learn 8 things? 33 years and you only learn 8 things? Right. My dear brothers and sisters, we need to ask ourselves, what lessons have we learned? We went to school, we went to Montessori school, we went to primary school, we went to university, we are working in the public outside there. What have we learned? What have we really learned? We learn math. We learn geography. We know how the world is shaped. We know the direction that it moves. We know that it is not flat. We learn how much oceans there are in the world. We learn physics and chemistry. We learn a lot of things. But the lessons of life, what have we learned? What have we really learned? These saintly souls, who we learn from, we look at their lives in order to understand what is the reality of life. What does it all mean? Is it just eating and drinking and having relationships and procreating, well then, if that is the case, my dear brothers and sisters, there's no difference between us and the animals outside there. Right? The dogs, the cats, the birds, and all the other animals that it have outside there. If this is the purpose of our life, to eat and to drink and to provide for our family and to build a home and all, if that is the purpose of our life, then there's no difference between us and the animals outside there. As a matter of fact, they might be in a better position than us. A far better position than us. Right? So have we learned anything? I am now 10 years old. I have now become baligh. I have now graduated from school. I am 25 years old. I have now finished university. I'm now working for 5 years, 10 years. I have now matured. I am 40 years old. What have I learned? What are the lessons that I am learning? I am going to mosque. I am coming. Problem with the mic here. Just hope it's sorted out. It happened this morning. We tried to get some. So have I learned anything? Could I write down that yes, I have learned this lesson? You know, or I learned the lesson that it's not good to give your children everything too easy. Let them work a little bit so they go appreciate it. Nowadays, we haven't even learned that lesson. Anything our children want, give it to them. Why? Because we can afford it. So you give it to them, you buy it for them. One of the most dangerous things that we could be doing for our children. We haven't even learned that lesson. Our parents taught us that, but we haven't learned it. They knew it. So what lessons have we actually learned? Are we just going through the phases of life? Going through the different youth, baby, youth. We came from the womb, you know, child. That's it. And that's where it is. Is that all? What are the lessons are we learning? Hatim Assam told his sheikh that he learned 8 lessons. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi raji'un. Only 8 lessons you learned? 33 years you are living with me and only 8 lessons you learned? But my dear brothers and sisters, they were a different caliber of people. They understood the reality of life. So that is why they took the time off in order to learn those lessons. His sheikh, Shaikh Balkhi, his sheikh was Ibrahim ibn Adham, who he learned from. Ibrahim ibn Adham had 2 khulafa, 2 disciples. There are many people who followed him, but 2 of them were given khilafat. Right? One was Hatim, one was Shaikh Balkhi, and the other one was by the name of Huzaifa al-Murashi. Right? Huzaifa al-Murashi, the other compatriot of Shaikh Balkhi. Huzaifa al-Murashi really belongs to our line of spirituality that we follow, the Chishti line of spirituality that we follow, for those who are into spirituality, right? But Shaikh Balkhi, his sheikh was Ibrahim ibn Adham. Do we know who is Ibrahim ibn Adham, who he learned from? Sheikh Ibrahim ibn Adham, these are names we call, but who are we to call such names? Sheikh Ibrahim ibn Adham was the Sultan and the King of Balkh in Khorasan. We don't understand that. Right? We don't understand that. When we say the President of the United States, we understand that. Because we see the value and the worth of the individual, the power that he has, the wealth that he controls. The Queen of England, we understand that. Right? Well, so too, and in very similar circumstances, Ibrahim ibn Adham was the Sultan and the King of the state of Balkh. Great person. Huge army. Wealth all around him. Everything that he needed, everything that was around him. And Ibrahim ibn Adham was getting this intuition that, you know, what does life really mean? What am I, you know, where am I going? And one day he heard, and thinking and worrying about the future and life and where am I going, he heard one day on his roof, on his rooftop one day, he hears the footstep of somebody in the palace. Top the roof, he heard someone. So he called out, say, who walk in here? Name yourself. Right? So the person said, don't worry, I'm a known person, I'm known to you. So he asked him, say, what you doing on the roof? What are you walking on the roof of the king for? You could get shot down, one of the guards could take you out. What are you doing on the roof of the king? And he says, well, I lost my camel and I'm looking for it. He said, you lost a camel and you're looking for it on the roof of the king? You expect to find a camel up here on top of the palace? This way you expect to find a camel? So the person replied, he said, yeah. And you expect to find Allah living in all our luxury you're living in? You want to find Allah. You are in search of your Lord, and you expect to be wearing that kind of clothing that you're wearing, living in that luxury, in that palace, and you want to find Allah. Who more stupid? Tell me, who is the stupid one here? Right? If you want to find Allah, if you want to learn the lessons of life, my dear brothers and sisters, don't feel that we could go basking in all this wealth that we have around us and all the luxury that we have around us and feel that you could find Allah. No, Ibrahim ibn Adham was given the first lesson. If you're looking for Allah, first to begin, you're looking in the wrong place. Ibrahim ibn Adham, a few days afterwards, Ibrahim ibn Adham, sitting in his court, the kings, when they sit in their court in order to hear people and decide on matters, courtiers on all sides, advisors, security guards, big open court, a vagrant walks in, a person with old tattered clothing and that kind of thing, comes into the court of, but the awe and the vibes that was coming from this, what we would call a vagrant person, was so outstanding that none of the other persons in the court of Ibrahim ibn Adham had the audacity to ask him, well, what do you want? What you come here for? Because they were seeing a splendor in him, a light, a nur that was coming. They couldn't ask him, they couldn't speak with him. So Ibrahim ibn Adham, the person came and he walked by the king's throne and he watched around on that side, went on that side, so he went on that side. So after a while, Ibrahim ibn Adham asked him, he says that, well, what is he seeing? What is he really looking for? He said, well, I'm just looking for a place, you know, spend the night in this hotel, you know, in this guest house, in this caravan, as they would say it in those days. You know, a caravan moving, traveling, like, oh, we are a guest house, you pass by the hotel, by the airport, you have a guest house, you spend a night, you overnight in one night, and then you move on, and you say, I'm looking for a place where I could rest on my bag and rest my head in this guest house. You know? So Ibrahim, he said, guest house? Hotel? Caravan? What are you talking about? This is my palace, you can't see it? Don't you see the jewelry? Don't you see the wealth that is around? This is my palace. So the person asked him, he said, well, where you get this from? Who one was this before you? He said, this had belonged to my father. And who owned it before him? He says, my grandfather owned this before him. He said, well, case closed. What do you call a place where you only stay for a little while and then you move on? Your grandfather was here, he gone. Your father was here, he gone. Now you occupying it. What do you call a place like that? That is not a guest house. That is not a caravan where you just rest your head a little bit. But the same thing I'm telling you. I'm just looking for a place to rest my head a little bit. And then I'm moving on too. What do you feel? You come here to stay all the time? And the person disappeared into thin air. Right? Amazing feat. Ibrahim ibn Adham, wanting to know who this individual is and finding out and all of that. At last it was told to him that that was Khidr alayhi salam, who had paid him a visit in order to teach him from the lessons of life. Because he was destined to take a certain path. And the lessons were coming to him, just like the person walking on the roof. The lessons were coming to him one at a time. One day Ibrahim ibn Adham left with a group of soldiers going out in the jungle to hunt. Right? And a deer appeared in front of them. A deer appeared in front of them, and Ibrahim took off behind the deer. Sped behind the deer. His horse being the fastest, he outstripped everybody else and he chasing the deer. He ended up somewhere in the jungle behind the deer. Nobody behind him because he passed all of them. Right? None of them could pick up with the speed of his horse. You understand? Find himself in the jungle. Then he came out, he don't know where the deer gone. He fell off his horse, fainted away a little bit. When he regained consciousness, the deer standing up close to him. Right? So automatically a hunter pull out an arrow and ready to shoot, because that's what he was doing. He went to hunt. You understand? Hunter ready to shoot. And then the deer start to speak to him in human voice. He says, "You can't kill me. You can't kill me. You can't hunt me. I came to hunt you. I came to hunt you. You are not hunting me. I came to hunt you. I was looking for you." And by that time, all the other courtiers and all the rest of the troops and thing had come up. And they heard the deer saying to Ibrahim ibn Adham. He says, "What you think? You have been created for this pastime, for this recreation? That is why you feel you were created? To go out hunting and enjoying life and all that kind of thing? You really believe that, you have nothing else, no other honorable business to do? This is what you believe that you have been created for all this pastime and games and all these other things?" Again, and the deer went away. And all his other courtiers and everybody else heard this. A deer speaking to Ibrahim ibn Adham. Went away again. The lessons of life. Person being molded and prepared in order to take a certain path in life. Now these same lessons happen to us every single day, my dear brothers. It mightn't be animals speaking with us. Right? It mightn't be animals speaking with us. We haven't reached that stage where these sort of things could happen with us. But there are things that are happening around us every day. But we just take it for granted. Every single day, the lessons of life are being taught to us. But we are not learning from it. We carry the bier on our shoulder and we go to the cemetery. We line up in the lines in the back there to pray the janaza. They are babies, they are women, they are men, rich, poor, middle age. Did we learn a lesson? How much janaza did we pray? We are burying our parents, and yet still we feel that we're going to live forever? Have we learned that the only sure and guaranteed thing about life is death? Did we learn any one lesson as yet in this life? So Ibrahim ibn Adham is trying to learn these lessons. He's trying to seek his Lord. What have I been created for? He left his kingdom. He left his kingdom. He told everybody, he says, "No, I'm going. You all handle business. I go in." Gone out into the jungle. Took out his clothing, his robes and all his expensive clothing. He exchanged it with a shepherd for a skin. Put on his skin. Took out his shoes. Walk in barefooted, gone in the jungle to live. Find a little cave, he stay in there. Right? Trying to find his Lord, because he understands that he can't find his Lord dwelling in all this luxury, with all this riches around him. He learned that from the story on the roof, the camel, man lost the camel. So he learned that. So he said, "Well, let me go and find my Lord." Gone out living a life of poverty. He took an oath of poverty. Right? I'm going to live poor. I'm going to live like this. I don't want no wealth around me and all that kind of thing. Ibrahim ibn Adham living there in his cave, in solitary confinement, as we would say it. One day for the week, he would come out for Jummah. One day for the week. He would collect some firewood, come out to the marketplace, sell it, get a few loaves of bread and go back to the other people, the other durwish, the other fakir, the other vagrants, as we would want to say it for understanding purposes. Right? They might be vagrants in terms of their appearance, but their hearts and their minds were in the correct place. Don't feel that for any minute at all that we are better than them. No, they knew what they were looking for. So he got his few loaves of bread and he's going back to his people and all of that. And then he was looking and seeking for his Lord. This wasn't a 40 days Jamaat that he went on. This wasn't a 3 years course in Darul Uloom that he went to a little time for the day or spend the day. No, he remained in that condition for 9 years. Understand who the individual is, eh? The king of Balkh. Gave up everything. For 9 years he's living in solitary confinement, coming out one day for the week, and whatever he earned in that one day, as far as whatever firewood he collected and all of that, right, was to bring back to those who are around him in order for them to eat bread. Right? As Isa alayhi salam would say to him, that his curry and the salan that he had was bread. Just pure bread. Because when you have bread alone to eat, then you understand how tasty it is. When you have bread alone to eat, then you understand how tasty it is. Right? So he's trying to learn the lessons. He's trying to look for his Lord for 9 years. But then, as is normal with human beings, say, boy, you have a real pious man down there, boy. You understand? Yeah, a real pious man on the whole night he in Ibadah and worship, and he has no money and that kind of people start to come around. Gone. Ibrahim ibn Adham, move out. He migrate. Why? Because you start to become famous. You know how our ego likes that? Somebody come out and say, boy, boy, good lecture, boy, nice lecture, right? What? Start to feel big. You understand? The ego inside of us starts to swell up. You understand? We feel that we are somebody now. Right? And it is that somebody feeling that we get inside of us that we have to get rid of. If we want to be in the company of the saints and enjoy the ecstasy that they enjoy, that is the ego that we have to get rid of inside of us. That don't matter if the wealth of all the worlds are given to you, both this world and the next, all the wealth of the world is offered to you, you must not feel an iota of pride in you. And if whatever you have is taken away from you, whatever little wealth you have is taken away, whatever property you have is taken away from you, you must not be saddened by that. And then you are on your way. Then you are on your way. To get rid of the ego that is inside of us is one of the steps that we have to take if we want to reach and recognize our Rabb. If we want to reach and recognize our Lord and our Creator, these are the lessons that we have to learn as we go along. Don't feel it comes at an easy price. Ibrahim ibn Adham traveling, and he bunks up a group of, well, when he was moving from the cave after 9 years and traveling going towards Makkah, he bunks up another group of other saintly persons, 70 in number, 69 of them dead. And they're in their blood. They're dead and they're in their blood. Rolling in their blood. One of them alive. Halfway alive, as we would like to say. Halfway alive. So, Ibrahim ibn Adham went to the one who was halfway alive and he asked him, he says, what does he mean? What is this that I am seeing here? That all of these saintly looking people, because you see the way that they are dressed, the cloaks, the old garments they are dressed in, you realize that they have that ilk. What does this mean? He says that, well, we were a group of Durwesh, have taken the oath to Allah Zawajal. We have made an oath with Allah Zawajal that we are not going to recognize anyone but Allah. We are going to void our heart of everyone and everything except Allah. That Allah and Allah alone must be in our heart. We have taken a vow of silence. That we are not going to speak. We are not going to discourse. We are not going to become pleased with anyone else except Allah. And in their journey, and they were about to enter Makkah, and who did they meet? They met Khidr alayhi salam. What an honor to meet Khidr alayhi salam, who was with Musa alayhi salam, a person of that nature, who knew the Isma Azam of Allah, a person who is given ilmi ladunni. Oh, they met Khidr alayhi salam, and oh, they were happy. They were joyous. They began meeting with him and their attention turned towards him, and then a divine voice told him, he said, oh, I thought Ali made an oath that Ali, you are not going to speak to anyone, you're not going to become happy with anyone except me, that you would fill your hearts only with me and nothing else. You met you forgot the Creator, now you met one of the creatures of Allah, now you become happy and you're joyous. You have to pay a toll for that, you have to give up your life. And that is why the blood that you see there in there, that is the blood of that blood that you see these Durwesh and these Sufis in. Oh, that is the blood from the heat of the love of Allah. They gladly gave up their life. Why? Because they broke the commandment of Allah, the oath that they took with Allah. So Ibrahim ibn Adam asking, the person told him, he says that it is not an easy road. This road to spirituality that you are taking to Allah, it is not an easy road. It is a difficult road. So make up your mind what you want to do. Are you going to turn back or are you going to continue on the road? Make up your mind, Ibrahim ibn Adam. What do you want to do? Here it is. You've seen 69 persons lying dead in their blood. Because they broke their oath with Allah Azza wa Jal that we are going to void our heart of everything besides Allah. And here it is. They met Khidir and their hearts are full with love for him and all of that. Oh, love for somebody else besides Allah. Right? What about, what situation are we in? How much love do we have for our wealth, our nice cars, our property, our good clothing, our children, our wives, our everybody around us besides Allah? Our hearts today are full with love for everything else besides Allah. And it is supposed to be the opposite. Our hearts are supposed to be filled with the love of Allah and void of everything else. It doesn't mean to say we do not fulfill our rights towards people. We have to fulfill our rights. Who we have to provide for, we provide for. But the love of Allah alone must be in our hearts. So you all became, so Ibrahim ibn Adam, you make up your mind. This is a very difficult road. Don't feel he was the king of Balkan. Yeah, everything will run smooth for you. No, no, it's that difficult. You make up your mind what you want to do. So Ibrahim ibn Adam asked him, he said, but how come you live in? 69 of them dead and you still living? What make you different? He said, well, you see them? Them was the real bourgeois. Them was the Busruks. Them was the saints. I now start, I is a little pipsqueak, you know, I now start, I now trying to learn a little thing, you know what I mean? But them in it a long time now. And if them in it a long time now, that's why they die, and I still say that, and he passed away. Right? So Ibrahim ibn Adam knew that the life that he wanted to live, he was being taught the lessons. My dear brothers and sisters, we need to ask ourselves, do we really want to meet with Allah Azza wa Jal? Do we really have that love for Allah Azza wa Jal? Or the love for the material and the physical things that are around us today? Crime is rampant in our country, you know why? Because everybody wants to have the bling bling around them. And we do it in all different kind of ways. We're willing to rob, to steal, to deprive, to, we're willing to bamboos, we're willing to outsmart. We're trying all kind of things. We're trying all kind of things in order to get a few dollars, my dear brothers and sisters. We have to think carefully. Time is short, very short. The younger ones might feel, well, we now start to live maybe later on. But what I see in front of me here, my dear brothers and sisters, are all fully grown men with beard. Plenty white beards, plenty salt and pepper beards, black and white. You understand? Old people I'm seeing, right? And some of the younger ones might even die before us. So don't feel we have plenty time. Where are we going? What lessons have we learned? Do we want to learn any lessons? Or do we feel, by, I'm afraid I may go in there. No? That's a difficult thing. I may go in there. And we could just take it as it come every day. Where do we want to go? Speak to someone. Speak to someone. Talk to someone. Ask for advice. What to do? Where do we go from here? This is how I live my life. I want some change to come about within the next few years. I'm like, it's not an overnight fix. It's not no magic wand that you come and then you're flying in carpet. No, my dear brothers, it's plenty sacrifice and plenty work. Plenty sacrifice and plenty work. If we want to meet our Lord, we have to make sure we burn the prayer mats at night, that we starve the body of food during the daytime. Right? We fulfill each and every single obligation that there is on our Lord, following to the practices of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then we might pray and beg that Allah Azza wa Jal might take something from us. We might get some proximity to Allah Azza wa Jal. That is what it is all about, my dear brothers. And we haven't started to learn as yet. We haven't started to learn as that. May Allah Azza wa Jal guide you. May Allah Azza wa Jal guide me. May He give us the tawfiq. May He give us the ability, the divine guidance, that we might be able to tread a little in a path that leads towards Him, so that we could be recognized, so that we could get that spiritual love that we so deep.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله